a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Welcome, everyone, to the Senate Taxation Committee. We'll come to order. Just a reminder to everyone who's testifying today to sign in. Welcome to everyone. Have the pages introduce themselves after we get organized here. Just a reminder to turn off the secretary. Turn off your cell phones and all that other good stuff, and the secretary will call the roll.
Following senators: Ewing, yes. Kirkaby,
here.
Amdahl,
excused.
Otten, Welke, Monroe,
here.
Maher.
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum. Thank you. We'll have the page come forward. Can you want to come forward and tell us your name? You're new this week, so where are you from? What you're going to do?
Hi, I am Paul Christensen from here on South Dakota, and I'm planning to go to South Dakota School of Mines for electrical engineering.
Cool. All right. Thank you. Is your family in banking? No? Okay. There's a Paul Christensen that's in banking, I think. So, anyway, all right. Let's see. Anyone that's going to testify, sign in. And any handouts will be distributed through the pages. And with that, we'll start off with House Bill 1039. Clarify the gross receipts subject to taxation. Oh, we need the minute. We need the minutes. There we go. Yep. There, we've got a motion seconded by Monroe. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are so approved. Now onward and forward with House Bill 1039.
Good morning, Mr.
Chairman. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jane Page, Department of Revenue. 1039 was brought today because of a streamlined sales tax request. The governing board said, if you don't charge tax on tax, would you please put it in statute? We always did it by policy. We always told retailers, don't charge tax on tax. And it's specifically for four taxes. Section 1 of the bill, Chapter 1045, those are the sales tax laws. Chapter 1045D is the tourism tax. Chapter 1052 is the city tax. And 1052A is the municipal gross receipts tax, which is also referred to as bedboard and booze tax. So when you have those taxes, there's no tax on tax. For an example, if you rented a motel room here in Pier, there's 8.5% tax, the 4% state tax, 2% city tax, 1% gross receipts tax, and 1.5% tourism tax. So if you have a $100 motel room, you charge the state tax on $100, you charge the city tax on $100, not on $104. And on like that. It's the way we do it. It's the way we've always done it. It's the way we've always told retailers to do it. This just puts it in statute. So we ask you to support 1039. Thank you.
Are there further proponents to House Bill 1039?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Tax Committee, my name is Melissa Forrest, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. We also rise in support of House Bill 1039. Prior to session starting, we met with the Department of Revenue to go over their legislative package, and we were very pleased to see that they're bringing light to this issue. This bill will help clarify for retailers how to apply tax when a single purchase is subject to multiple taxes. House Bill 1039 should help reduce the confusion for businesses and cut down on the instances where businesses incorrectly apply the tax on their gross receipts. I'll stand by for questions if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ross. Further proponents to House Bill 1039? Proponents to House Bill 1039, seeing none. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1039? Seeing none, we will close to committee questions. Questions of the committee? I had that one.
That was last year.
Oh, Jane, I'm sorry. I even never wrote down here. How come this is just being clarified now?
Mr. Chairman, I guess it really was never a question before. As far as in-state retailers, we believe they were always doing it correctly. Now, if the federal legislation should pass and you're asking all these out-of-state people to collect the tax, some states may have tax on tax. They just wanted it, if you don't, clarify it.
So
so they can, like, the states that do have tax on that, so is there a hierarchy of pecking order?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they are, but I'm not sure if they are paying tax on tax. They just said if your state is not, clarify it. So that, from that, I assume there could be a few states, and if there were, I don't know what the pecking order is.
Any further discussion or questions from the committee? If not, we'll move into action. Senator Ewing.
I would make a motion for due pass on House Bill 1239.
And we have a motion of due pass. Is there a second? By Welke. Any speaking to that motion, Senator? Senator Kirkaby.
I'm sorry.
1039.
Excuse me. 1039.
Okay.
I stand to be corrected.
Okay. Everyone's clear as mud now? All right. All right. We have a motion before you of a due pass motion on House Bill 1039. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed will say nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Ewing?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Amdahl? Excuse. Otten? Welke?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Is unanimous.
Okay. House Bill 1039 has received an affirmative vote and will move to the Senate floor on the consent count. I guess I should say, all those in favor of consent?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. House Bill 1039 moves to the floor on consent. Yes. Kirkaby motion, seconded by Monroe. Oh, sure. I'll just do it in tax. We don't usually talk about consent bills, so... next is House Bill 1239. Are there any proponents to House Bill 1239, an authorized school district to use certain tax levies for pension and health insurance purposes? Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Kyle Shamefish, Representative, District 19. Bring you this bill just to give some schools flexibility with their pension funds. Schools have four major funds: general, special education, capital outlay, and pension. This bill would allow them to use their pension fund for health insurance. Currently, they're allowed to levy 30 cents per $1,000 of valuation. The vast majority of schools already are at the maximum levy. There's about 30 schools that are not. Half of them are between the 0 and 30 cents, and then about 15 of them don't use that levy, but this bill just allows them the flexibility to gives them one more tool to make use of the resources they already have. This bill received 53 votes in the House, and I ask that you send this to the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Are there further proponents to House Bill 1239?
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Brian Hype. I'm the superintendent of schools in the Clark School District, and I just kind of want to give a little bit of how it would help my school district and maybe some other school districts. Currently, the Clark School District is not levying in pension this year. We have over $400,000 in our pension fund. Over the last 5 years, between capital outlay, the pension fund, and special education, we could be levying at $4.70. In the last 5 years, we have been levying at $2.70 in those funds. We have shifted it around. Some years we levied the 30 cents in our pension. We drop our capital outlay, our special ed, but we don't take and keep increasing our funding our in those. We would not be taking and increasing our funds are what we levy for our patrons, we are looking at a possible opt-out come this spring. With this bill, we pay currently $90,000 in health insurance. This $90,000 we could take out of our general fund, take it out of our pension fund, and we would be able to drop the amount of our opt-out by approximately $90,000. We're looking at a possible $300,000 opt-out. You know, we always talk, or you always talk about up here, local control. Okay? This would give my school board local control. They would be able to decrease that opt-out from $300,000 down to $200,000 because $90,000 of that would come out of taking and shifting our insurance costs from the general fund to the pension fund. Again, as I stated, for 5 years, we have not increased our levies in those five accounts, or in those three accounts. We stayed at $2.70. This bill gives us flexibility, it's permissive, and it would give us local control. There are a lot of school districts that would be able to use this. It would take stress off of our general fund that we, right now, as school districts, are struggling with. So I would encourage your support in this bill in allowing us to be able to use our pension fund to also pay health insurance. And I would gladly stay around for any questions afterwards.
Thank you. Further proponents to House Bill 1239? Good morning.
Good morning, Senator Maher and committee members. My name is John Peterson, and I work for the USA School Group. It's a group of 102 small and middle schools, as well as a few of the larger schools in South Dakota as well. You know, this is an interesting bill, and I think Superintendent Heupel explained it well, and it just gives our schools a little flexibility is what it does. And the 30 cents per thousand has been used for, you know, for retirements in the past, but allowing them to use it for hospitalization would help out some of our schools. You know, Superintendent Heupel explained his situation where he's not levying. Most of our schools, I believe, are levying the 30 cents right now, but it would allow them some flexibility. So our group of schools certainly supports this, and we would encourage you to pass it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Further proponents to House Bill 1239.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Rob Munson, School Administrators of South Dakota. Last time I came before this committee, I didn't do so well, so I'm hoping to do a little better today with a victory. This bill started out, just to give you a little history, of trying to raise the pension fund up to 50 cents, allowing school districts to do that. Lynn Vlossman, a superintendent in the Tripp Delmont School District, was the one who asked to bring this legislation forward, and he's in dire straits in the Tripp Delmont School District. As you are probably all aware, a number of our school districts out there, literally backs are against the wall funding-wise. And they are really trying to uncover every rock, every shell, every look in every cupboard for dollars to help out the cause. I believe Tripp Delmont has not given staff there a raise in about 4 or 5 years. and the circumstances they're facing with insurance costs rising. Literally, they're trying to meet those needs any way they can. The school districts who have rising valuations, this pension fund will continue to rise, and they don't have to increase those levies. Smaller districts where it's not, it stays pretty stable. Luckily, if this passes through, at least Tripp, Delmont, and some of those other districts will be able to utilize this as their school boards see fit in being able to cover some of these costs that just keep rising and keep taking away from the general fund and being able to meet other needs. So I would urge all of you to please move this to a do pass and continue this down the rails. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Munson. Further proponents to House Bill 1239. Good morning, Senator.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Second time I've seen quite a few, most of you guys this morning. Senator Billy Sutton, District 21, just offering my proponent testimony. Just to remind the committee that we passed a bill the other day that's doing something similar to this regarding the capital outlay, giving flexibility in that realm, and I believe that this is a similar solution to our schools already being strapped for cash, so I won't belabor the point and leave just my urge the committee to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents? Good morning, Mr. Pogany.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Wade Pogany. I represent the Associated School Boards of South Dakota. I just want to take 1 minute to plant a seed and using this bill to do that. In talking to school boards around the state, we know that the next fiscal cliff, if I can use that phrase, if it isn't already here, will be in health care. Just meeting the needs of the health care bill that most school districts are going to receive this year and in the future is going to be very, very difficult. We know that that's the case, and we will rise to that challenge. We'll figure that out. But what I'm concerned about, though, is that some schools have told me that the governor's 3% increase that we'll receive, which we're very grateful for, in some cases will just pay for the health care bill that we'll have in the increase. This bill is a terrific bill. It gives a few school districts a little bit of flexibility, and so I don't see any risk in having you vote for that. But I think it's only the beginning of the discussion later on with you directly in the future about the healthcare issue. And so if you could help us with this piece, it won't solve that problem, but it'll begin to add some flexibility for some schools to use. So I'd urge your adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Pogany. Further proponents? Got just about everybody in the room. Are there further proponents to House Bill 1239? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1239? Opponent testimony to House Bill 1239. One last call. Seeing none, we'll move into committee questions. Senator Wilkie. Nope. Okay. Any questions for Donaldson? I have one. Who told me this? Who was talking about Tripp Delmont? Okay. Question.
Rob Munson, school administrator, Senator.
Yes, Mr. Munson. When you said I went back and looked at this bill too. It's originally started out as an increase in the pension fund, is that correct?
Correct.
And so Tripp Delmont short, and now we're going to open this up to take from the pension fund to pay health insurance. So how, this bill doesn't help Tripp Delmont at all then, essentially.
As long as their pension fund is solid and they do not need to go after all of these dollars to put into the pension fund, there could be some wiggle room in there to pull it out and use it for insurance costs. If they are needing every bit in the pension fund to cover pension, this would not help them. My assumption is that the superintendent, Lynn Blossman, at Tripp Delmont knows where he's at with his pension fund and still feels that he can utilize some of the money coming out of here to help defray his insurance costs.
Sure.
So, in a sense, it will help him, not as greatly as it would have had it been able to stay at 50 cents or even 40 where it was initially dropped down to.
Just another question for you. What are the other requirements or regulations dealing with the pension fund? I mean, it's essentially you put a mill levy out there. You collect this tax, and then that money strictly is to match, to come into the state.
To use for any retirements, to pay early retirements, anything that you choose to use that pension money for out of your school district.
But is it a matching fund to go into the state retirement system? No.
Can anyone else help me with that?
Explain how the pension fund works, I guess.
Basically, in our case...
You come up here and grab a chair and sit next to the microphone.
Brian Heipel,
yep.
Superintendent Clark School District. It's used for that 6% matching, okay? So, you know, the state retirement, we take and deduct 6% from the employees.
Sure.
Okay. And then any early retirements that you might have come from your school district. So those are the two things that you would pay out of your retirement fund or your pension.
So the state retirement system then doesn't deal with early retirements then? Or just whatever they'd have in that? Maybe the question should be, what are the qualifications for early retirement?
Whatever your local school district has for our policy.
Okay.
State has theirs at 55 and their time frames, but local school districts would set up their own enticements to have someone retire early.
Okay.
Yeah, so this has nothing to do with the South Dakota retirement system. This has to do with what you set up within your own school district to entice school or employees to retire early, or incentives to, you know, once they retire or something along those lines.
Okay. One more. Alleviate my fears that we don't become like California or Wisconsin and have unfunded pension out there. So these people are ready to retire. We have no money to fund their pension, and all of a sudden the state has to come back in and subsidize this.
Senator, I would say that your local school district is going to look at their needs. And if their needs are to fund retirement, that's priority number one. So they would not be able to go after and utilize any additional monies or take from this to pay insurance costs. They'd have to go back to their general fund or look at an opt-out to cover those costs.
And are there rules in place to make sure that happens?
I can't guarantee you there are, but I would say there are.
Okay. Senator Monroe, I'll be quiet for a moment. Go ahead. Question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
You're talking, thank you, either one of you, I guess, or both. You're talking about the amount of money that goes into the pension fund. It's just, say, a couple or a flow so it can go over to the health. The money going into the pension fund, that's already being taxed, right? This isn't trying to instigate more taxes or more of a cost share from the state or anything like that.
Mr. Chairman?
Proceed.
Senator Monroe, no, this is not an additional tax. School districts may be below the 30 cents. They may be at 20 cents because that meets their need. They could raise that up to 30 cents to put additional money into that. That would be a local decision that they would have to decide. I'm pretty confident Trip Delmont, one of the districts, would already be at that 30 cents, so they aren't going to go out and ask for any more money. They're asking for flexibility in what they're already taxing to use for their medical costs. Insurance.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion, questions from the committee? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Are there any comments from the committee and or action? Senator Welke.
I guess I would ask you to support this, too. And the three things that they have mentioned, permissive, flexible, and local control, I think... You know, we heard a lot about local control in our last election about other issues, but that's very important. Each school district has its own unique situation. And we have a school board elected by the people who hires a superintendent. I think this is the least we can do. I mean, we're not abundantly funding them, so this gives them flexibility to solve their insurance problem.
Thank you, Senator. Any further speaking or comments? Do I have action then?
I make a motion.
You have a motion? Please.
I would move due pass on House Bill 1239.
I have a due pass motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Ewing. Speaking to that, any further speaking to that motion? Senator Ewing, speaking to that motion. Okay. With that, Secretary will call the roll on the due pass motion of House Bill 1239.
Ewing?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Humdahl's excused. Otten?
Aye.
Welke?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Maher?
No. We have
5 yes, 1 no, and 1 excuse.
Okay. So House Bill 1239 has received a due pass motion and moves to the Senate floor on a, what was it, 5-1 vote? 5-1-1. So thank you. Anything else to come before the committee? Seeing none. Half hour, boys. 30, 25 minutes. So thank you, gentlemen. Do I have a motion to adjourn? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.